Welcome to Inspiration Radio, Growth Principles for Humanity and Progress. Join us when we share information, wisdom, and ideas how to create an extraordinary future for us all. The future is open. We together decide what will be in it. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration Radio. Last year, Inspiration Day in Berlin, we had a young-looking man, and he is already 50 plus. And you will see him, you don't believe it. He is from Gambia, living in Berlin because his one son has health challenges, epilepsy, so he needed to go for a doctor in Berlin. So he went also to Berlin, became an Uber driver. There he makes his living as an Uber driver. Very hard, pays a lot of money for the car, so he get only 30% whatever he makes. It's not really much to live. But anyway, he can send money home, and he is extremely happy. A friend of mine ordered an Uber car and had connections and talks with Oshua Car. And yeah, he said, wow, what a guy, what he is living. I met him, wanted to know him, get to know him, met him and invited him also to Inspiration Day. And also in Berlin, I tried to meet him. And really, it is a really positive injection, always wonderful for the frequency. So enjoy some wisdom from the man from Gambia. And if you like, make contact with him. He can really give you these injections to live a truly happy life, besides all the Western world outer facades, etc. So enjoy Oshua Ka. Hi, it's wonderful that we have the chance to talk here via Zoom. And I'm so happy that also listeners have the chance to get some of your wisdom. I know you experience a lot of things in different worlds, so you have collected your own wisdom, but you had interesting stories. Is it tribe? Is it grandma? And I really love to talk about something with you. So you lived in Africa, you're born in Gambia, and now you live in Berlin for a while. So let's start with this. What you see the difference, for example, with the view at life in your home country and in the so-called Western world?
Okay, thank you. I want to say hello to you and to your listeners, both near and far. I came to Germany some years ago, and since I came here, I learned a lot because I could see a big difference from where I come from and how people live here culturally and socially. It's a big gap in terms of the cultural and social way of life from where I come from and from here. From where I come from, it seems people are more open, more friendly, more happy, despite the limited resources available. But here, it's more of a stress life about success, career, money. And it seems that the life here, people are very lonely, seem to be very lonely, seem to be very sad, angry for small things that they could even make fun about and laugh about it and move on. But instead, they make it so big and angry. That's a big shock that I learned when I came here. Also, meeting people for example, I go to a bus stop where I come from. You never meet somebody without giving a smile, because we always say smile costs nothing. It's a charity that everybody should be happy to give. And anytime I smile at people, they just, put their faces more in a scary one. So this was a big challenge for me to get used to meeting people at bus stops or at supermarkets without saying hello and smile back, because where I come from, we don't know this. We always take care of each other, say hello, smile, because we always say that as human beings, we need this connection to be able to make life a bit more interesting.
Well, that's for sure a very important thing. If you go with the idea of the blue zones, why people live long, first we thought, is garlic or olive oil or red wine or whatever? Is this a special food remedy or whatever that makes you live long, but in the end, it's so much about relationships. Last time we met, you said something. Yeah, in Berlin, I see people have a lifestyle, but not really a life.
Yeah, what I mean is I feel that many people here are living, but they don't have a life. And in my own culture, people live and have a life. People are more happy. People are more relaxed than here, because what I observe here is every person here has the training and talent to succeed, but none of them has the training to handle stress or when the downside of life touches them. And this is something that when we are young, this is how they train us that everything you see in life, it's two sides. There is always two. It's always a pair, happiness, sad, day, night, you know. So they prepare you that if you are in good times, expect bad times. If you are in bad times, expect good times. Like, for example, one day, hyena is an animal in the forest. This is a story my grandmother told me that he was very hungry and started crying all over, very loud. So they brought him a lot of food. Then he was very happy. He ate, he couldn't finish the food. All of a sudden, he started crying again. They asked him, "Why are you crying? You are hungry. We bring you food. You cannot even finish it. You are crying." He said, "Yes, now I'm full, but I'm sure hunger is coming again." So that story is teaching you that if you are in good times, expect bad times. If you are in bad times, expect good times. So this is something that makes us, you know, always don't let life knocks us down to a point that we don't have hope to get up again. For me, I always try to go through stress as soon as possible, because stress is like if you hold a paper and it's very light in the beginning, but if you leave it for 5 hours, it becomes heavy. This is something that I always train myself that, you know, I don't let stress stay long with me, because in life, what happens is only 10%, and 90% is how you respond to it. And every situation can have a positive side. No matter how bad it is, you can always try to look for the positive side and adopt that positive side and try to forget about the negative aspect of it.
Yeah, like we said, a lot of people live in this one polarity life. They see only one polarity. I guess you don't want to say that having a career is bad. It's more that they only focus on a career and lose
Exactly.
self, really.
Yes.
They lose their life. I remember the story, maybe you'd like to share it, with the kind of successful rich guy with the apartment. And
Yes. This is also, you know, when we were young, in the village, we didn't have any electricity or television. So we had what we call oral university. That is the grandma or grandpa of the community. During moonlight, everybody will go and sit on the mats, and then he will tell us theory and story tales that will, you know, prepare you mentally, psychologically as you grow.
yeah.
And almost all the stories we are always linked to realities that you will come across in life. So one day I remember he was telling us about a story about a very rich man who was extremely rich, lived in a big story building, but he has very less sleep because of all the worries, you know, thinking, where is this money? How many I have? Much, you know, as businessmen and rich people, how they are always. So he could never sleep more than 3, 4 hours. So in the middle of late hours of the night, everybody was sleeping. Everywhere was quiet. He couldn't sleep. He did everything. He couldn't sleep. So there was a beggar who always go around from house to house asking for money, for food, and so forth. So in the middle of the night, when everybody was sleeping, the man couldn't sleep. Then he went to his balcony and leaned and looking at the street. Then suddenly he saw this poor man under his own veranda, sleeping and snoring so loud that, you know, he could even hear it from upstairs. Then he said, "With all this wealth I have, look at this poor man. He don't even have a shelter. I have so many empty rooms here. I cannot fill them and I cannot sleep, but he can sleep." So the next day, he invited this man to his apartment. Then they sat. He invited him for food because he also had problems in eating, you know, much, within few spoons, no appetite, because all the time phone is ringing, he's thinking of, you know. So then the moment he invited this man, then they started chatting, and this man started to tell him about his life story. And then he began to feel relaxed. That day he ate the whole food, his whole plate of food. And then within minutes, He sat on the couch sleeping. And
Mm-hmm.
then, so that is to tell you that in life, no matter how, whatever you have, somebody has something that you need. That's why we need each other as human beings, because bringing him this man brought him joy for that moment, made him forget about all his wealth and everything. He enjoyed this, short moment that made him so relaxed that he could eat as much as he never ate for many years, and he could sleep long. So this is these are the kind of stories that they will teach you, that whatever you have, someone has something else that you don't have. So everybody is rich in this society because you have something which is a gift within you that I don't have. I have a gift which is in me that you don't have. So I'm richer than you in that aspect. So that's why I always say to myself, everybody, every human being is rich, because everybody has a natural gift in him or her that the other one sitting next to him or her doesn't have. So that's why we need each other. And the moment you are with people talking to each other, chatting, you forget about your problems. That's why, social connection is very good. And that is something that I observe here in Germany, that many people are very lonely. Some people, when they go in their flats, they have no one else to talk to until the next day when they are out. And this is something that I feel it's kind of sad in the society, that
Yeah,
the connection.
it's just sad and killing people even.
Yeah.
It's just, I think there's a lot of value in the little story. First of all, you started before you do the story with this oral university.
Yeah.
And somehow maybe you say, because we didn't have Google or whatever, we needed
Yeah.
this. But if you look at modern times, who has a possibility to get stories from grandma? I guess a lot of people today, like you said, living lonely, where is a family that you get stories from your parents? And this starts already to, create a kind of lonely life. And when you said the rich guy with all his super apartment, empty rooms, invited the beggar. I mean, at the moment you're driving different people through Berlin, different or whatever rankings, nations or whatever. And how do you see it? Because I was triggered the moment you said he invited it in his house. When I was at that situation, focused on the facade and building the facade, I was not even able to invite him, but even talk to him. I try to keep a distance to those people. Intellectually, I heard it. Oh, they have something, you can find something. But it was more like, oh, yeah, I should be a good Christ and see something good in it. But I was running behind the material stuff or the facade or to get the recognition that something in me was afraid to connect.
I can safely say majority of the people, they are fear of knowing the unknown or going out of their comfort zone. It's a big obstacle to their desire to achieve certain positive things in life. If you don't try or take risk to learn something new, you can never grow. And if you don't grow, you cannot be to your best to become happy. So that's why many people here, I think they confuse pleasure and happiness. Many people are spending a lot of resources, a lot of money on pleasure, thinking it will make them happy. But after some time, they become bored of that one. They want the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. And this is what is bringing these people so sad, so lonely, even depression. This is because of all the pressure, Actually, and it took me a long time before I could even understand what depression is, the theory, because before I
That
came
was
to
a funny
Germany.
thing that you didn't know what
No,
means.
I didn't know it. I didn't know it at all. And I still struggle to understand it because it's still difficult for me to understand exactly that it's a medical condition that could happen to somebody, and even to a point that he or she cannot go to work or have to go, for medical treatment also, because we don't have this kind of situations, because we always,
Yeah, but if you're looking at depression, it is treated from a society, as a let's say a situation where we can sell drugs also, and then make them, because there might some really different problems, or maybe the brain is wired different, but for most of people, it's just they make different choices about what they think, and they get a routine in thinking something. And if you grow up in a different environment, you just think different things. You're trained to think different. You have a different life view. You're not like when we run in the Western world for all the symbols, the facade. And I was in a depression too, after I even reached the success, because now I have more than I ever could expect, reached, ticked off that, be happy, or that. Realizing I was running for recognition. What is the meaning of life? If you're born in Gambia, in your family, what you share, what's the meaning of life is?
The meaning of life, of course, is contentment. To be content, to be content about yourself, of course, about your surrounding. To be grateful also with the gift that you have a life that you could see all your body parts are functioning. Because if you look at it from another perspective, there are millions of people who cannot even see the world. There are millions of people who cannot even move their arms. Some are so rich that they cannot even lift their heads. They are in hospital bed. So the meaning of life is to be grateful of whatever you have, no matter how little. It's not about how much you have, but it's about what you have. That is, for me, that is the meaning of life, to be grateful with that and try to make the best out of that, to enjoy it in your own way. No one is sure how long he or she is going to live. So for me, that's why I always say everyone should always make the best out of every day you witness, because nothing is 100% in life. The next minute, something else could happen. All of a sudden, everything changed.
But there is a big difference. Like I grew up in the Western world in Germany. I studied in Berlin, but I grew up in different other areas. And the training on the focus is what is your grades first, and what's the title, and what you have.
If you always look at the one below you, you are always satisfied or at least content with your situation. It's good to be ambitious, but too much of it also, it's not good. It's good to have the level. I'd say, okay, this is my target, this is my goal, but at a minimal level that it doesn't, ruin your inner self.
It doesn't matter how high your goal is. The question is, how much stressy is it for you to go there? For some people, it's natural to run faster than others. Or, like you said, everybody has a different gift. So maybe for someone, is it easier to make business for someone? It's like in my organism. I'm happy that the liver and the kidney are not fighting with each other. So they say, oh, this is my job and this is job. Together we create a bigger organism. This I feel is, let me come back to family, that is so much more normal, or maybe even you don't think about it, that you live in a community, in a we culture.
I think for us, we are more community family oriented than in the West here. Here, for example, the moment you are 18, the system tells you that go away, you can be alone. The moment that they tell you that you are 18, you leave home. And I think for me, I think that is not the way it should be. Because if you think when you are young, your parents brought you to this life, they took care of you. They did everything to bring you up. So I think even if you reach certain stage, you have your own family, you should always think about your parents and take care of them to give them that love back that they gave you before. Because I always say that the best gift you could give someone you care and you love is time, not material, not money. If I buy you a present within weeks, it can spoil. But the time, the memory that we spend together, that lasts forever. So I think the time that people should spend or give back to their parents or families, that is something that is lacking in the Western world. Sometimes I'm driving taxi. I pick people there. Sometimes they tell me they don't see their parents for years, and they are living in the same city. They only maybe emails. I met a lady who told me that she and her mother have only email contact. For me, that is very sad. I cannot understand that. Living in the same city, a mom that gave you this life, went through sleepless nights for you, and et cetera, et cetera, and so forth. So if she reached a stage that she cannot, I think it's very important that to give that love back, spend some time with her, try to find time for her to be able to give her that love. For example, in Europe here, with all the available resources people have, people don't think about that. I don't have money to eat two or three times a day. They don't think about that. If I am sick, I don't have money to go to hospital. But from where I come from, that is the reality. It's all about, you know, some families can only afford 1 meal a day. And within that 1 meal a day, even if you are a guest, you are welcome to join, even if they don't know you. So I think here, should, with, you know, all the easy access to food, healthcare, education, it should have been a very happy society.
You see, in the Western world, oh, the success of a country is measured by how many invoices we write, but we don't care about the quality of the invoices. Yeah, car accidents, no, or chemotherapy. Oh, great. That's good for the gross domestic product. Yeah, and then you can borrow money against it and everything. And there's very few countries, but hopefully it's changing, like Bhutan says we measure the success of the country, how happy people are. They have really going around and checking, are the people happy? And in some good, let's say, more family-owned businesses, they take often more care about the people, are they happy, and they know about the family. In a modern world, there are no people, there are numbers. Yeah.
Numbers, exactly. You are right.
Objects and everything. And the crazy thing, the more those people who do it and have more money, they are not happy.
Just let's make a short break. The station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You know, when I was in Spain, the first time I realized there is a kind of idea of, oh, mañana, we don't need to do it today. And they came late to a meeting and everything. I was the first time I experienced, okay, I was also in a different mood at that time, a different level of awareness. I was pissed off and I felt ignored, or those lazy people. And you shared, I guess it was in the context in Berlin, the people have a lifestyle but not a life. Oh, when I'm in Gambia, maybe need to go to an appointment, I can't really make sure when I'm there because I meet people in between. It's a totally different reason why people may be not on time. Yeah.
That's very true, because you never know. Like if I said I should meet you and then we have an appointment, on my way to come to your house, I don't know how many people I will know on the street that I will meet and say hello, you know, greetings, talk about family a little bit and move on to the other. Because people have, you know, time to interact. And this is what, you know, what gives life, is food of the soul. That's why in Gambia we have what you call GMT, Gambian maybe time. If I tell you let's meet 3 o'clock, so I'll ask you whether European 3 o'clock or what a Gambian GMT. Because you never know how long I might need to be there, you know. Because people are very relaxed, very easygoing. We have this a special tea in Gambia called Ataya. It's a Chinese green tea, and you brew it. And the longer it takes, the better it is. It can take 4 hours making this tea, or 3 hours, or 2 hours. But the whole concept of making the tea, at the end you drink only a little bit, but the concept of it is to bring people together and have conversation and exchange ideas. And you see this in everywhere in Gambia, in most streets, in corners, workshops, mechanics, in the markets, you know, people will make this attire. And anytime you start it, people will come and sit and join. Even if you don't know, they will sit and come and join this.
Is it true when they meet around the tea procedure?
Yeah.
They are making real connections.
If I start making the tea with you, and then I know someone who was coming with you on the way, please just come and sit and join. And then through that, we'll get to know each other. That's why in Gambia, almost everybody knows everybody. Like, if you should go with me to Gambia, you'll be amazed how many people will be calling my name on the street. And it's not only me. It happens to almost every Gambian because of the social connection.
Yeah.
In Gambia, for example, in my culture, if you have a celebration like wedding or naming ceremony or party, you never know how many people will come. As long as you know somebody who knows the one doing it, you are welcome. And sharing also is something that that they bring teach us since when we are young. I remember when I was in school, we'll have if you have a bread like this, a small piece of bread, you will share it with almost all the students, your friends. Everybody will come and take a cut or a bite. And sharing, that's why in Gambia, you don't need to go to university to learn how to socialize. Everybody knows how to socialize from grassroots, that we always, you know, share and care for each other. And I think that is something, you know, when I was working at Tegel Airport, one day I was very hungry and my friend, German friend that I was eating with, I told him that I forgot to bring my lunch box. And then we were sitting eating, and then he ate until he couldn't finish his food. He just put it and threw it in the bin. From where I come from, we would share whatever, but he couldn't finish it. If your friend is saying he don't have nothing to eat, he forgot, and then he just put it in the bin. So that's a big difference, for example, culturally and so forth.
Huge, 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 huge difference. The Ubuntu philosophy, you know, it's like where a professor from the West had a bag with sweets, and put it maybe 100 meters somewhere and at a tree, and then said to the young boys there in Africa, says, "So, okay, now I give you a command, and then you can run. And the fastest, the one who is first, at the back and can have all the sweets." Nobody was running. Why is it only for one?
Exactly.
Well, it makes no sense to run if it's only for one. And even slowly in some parts, we learn it also that we're all in the same boat. If you look at climate or food. Now, but we are trained in the Western world so much more about separation.
Individual.
Better than this one. It can be religion. My religion is better or whatever. But also, if you live in Berlin and you see a little bit or get a feeling about the parliament and the politics in Berlin, you don't have the feeling that they have a creative fighting for what is the best for the people. So they fight each other and blame
each other. Yeah.
If parents are doing this, teachers are doing it, the government are doing this.
Yeah, then it melts down to the society.
I guess you don't want to tell me that the people from Gambia, they are totally against career or success.
No, no, no. They are very success oriented, but maybe the way we follow the success, like for example in Europe, I've seen that people put success and career before family or before starting to have families. It's very hard to see a real, you know, white German in Berlin now because they are not reproducing. They are always following their career and success. And or foreign Germans that are making families here, they are starting to outnumber the white real Germans because of the fact that they always put their career first before starting to have children. So by the time they are ready to have children, age, nature doesn't allow them to have more than one or two. Or most of them don't want to have one or two, or they don't even want to have a children.
Yeah.
So then, and for example, from my perspective, okay, if you spend all your life in fighting for that success, fighting to reach that high top, to a point that you don't have a children, you don't have nothing. Okay, by the time you are retired, you are 67. When you are 67, what fun do you want to have more? Before you know it, you start to have bones, back problem. Just so all the years that you were working for, you only enjoyed within 2 minutes. You just stay home, and then so that's why it's important to whilst you have the strength and the will and to enjoy life whilst you can
enjoy life. I think that's a very important thing to look at because. Also, later, why the Germans drinking beer when they have carnival? A lot of people just because they have the stressy life, so that is not really the joy of drinking.
Actually, you are right because I was saying this to myself last Saturday. I drove some people and they were so drunk, and I was saying to myself, this is not joy anymore. If you intoxicate your system, you take abuse substances, you are not yourself anymore. You are someone else somewhere. So where is the joy coming from? You know, so this is something that, you know, from my own world, I would have enjoyed it in a different way. And you'll still be yourself. You'll not be enjoying with under the influence of whatever substances you are taking.
There's a difference between fun and real joy. Joy is really more the joy of life. The fun of life has a different, or it's more fun in life. Yeah, it's a different meaning.
The drunkenness will not take the stress away. The stress will still be waiting. If you drink to be drunk because of a particular stress you have, if you don't solve that stress, it will still be waiting. So the first point of call is to first solve that stress, and then you can, you know. But if you say, okay, I have a stress at work, I couldn't finish my assignment, so I'll go out and drink. You first have to finish that because that assignment will always be waiting for you there.
Yeah, but it's more compensating on the other side for the stress. It is not really deep joy.
The first point of happiness is yourself, to look at yourself and feel satisfied and confident that, you know, I feel good and great. That's the first point of happiness.
Just let's make a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How much would you say is the difference in Gambia, and then especially in Berlin? Even Berlin is a kind of green city with parks, but living in Africa in a totally different connection with nature and how nature functions than in the Western world. You just go in a supermarket or you live always in concrete. Mm-hmm. So how much you think is depending on that? I believe if you really grow up with this connection in between humans, I assume there's also a different connection to nature itself. But the lack of really contact to nature is a big problem in life.
Yeah. I agree with you because, for example, the light, the sun, the daylight.
Yeah,
it has been a big challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I always miss the early morning sounds of the nature in Gambia, waking up, hearing different bird species, making sounds. Here you are always wake up by an alarm, mostly because of appointments and so forth. And there it's more of a relax, You hardly even see watches on people's hands.
In the Western world, we throw a lot of food away and don't care so much.
That is a big difference. Like in Gambia, for example, we have an eating culture that we always eat together in one bowl or plate, and all the family members will come and eat. And during the time of eating, that's the time we will also chat, talk about family matters. And then those moments are the times that you even have more appetite. Like me, I find it very, if I eat with people, I eat more than if I eat alone, This is because the moment you are eating with people, you are chatting, teasing each other, making jokes, and so forth. It's very rich in terms of, the food culture and so on. And also, as you said, in throwing food here, people waste a lot of food here. And I was working in one hotel here as a dishwasher. And my boss was always telling me to throw a lot of food that the guests don't eat. And they were still good. But I had to, within 2 days, I had to stop the job because my heart and my mind couldn't allow me to throw all that food, thinking of how many people, from where I come from, can't even have two meals a day. So as you are saying, the food here, it's so many food that is been wasted. I was driving with the child to school, and the child was complaining that she don't like the breakfast the mother gave her. Again. So I was saying to her, I be grateful to your mother. I mean, I never had breakfast to school in my life.
Yeah.
I used to walk 5 kilometers on foot without breakfast. So that is something that, coming back to what I was saying, that people should be very grateful, with all what they have here. Believe me, some people maybe eat only one time meat in the whole year in Gambia. And that is during the feast of, the Muslim feast. When they eat that time of meat, they cannot eat it until the next year because they cannot afford it, they don't have it.
The first is we are not grateful anymore. And then the next step is we feel entitled. What I heard also, especially in not only in Africa, so otherwhere where we're really natives, I lived on had this in Kenya also. When the boys, for example, are 13, then they go whatever in the Maasai's as was, go out and hunt a lion, or whatever you say in America, the native Indians is okay. You go in the woods and need to be alone with 13 in the woods and come back. And if you whatever mastered, then you come and be part of the elderly or whatever, just so we treat you like the men. And that is was always more my idea also that, okay, they need to become very early independent. But if I understand you right, it's not so much about independence, on it's a kind of challenge just to grow up, but stay anyway together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That is the point. And Africa is very big and very diverse. For example, the way of life in East Africa is far different from the way of life in West Africa. Even in West Africa, the way of life is very, is actually the whole of Africa, it's only Gambia and Senegal who have the same cultural values, the same name, the same mindset, the same food, the same look. Like, for example, if I go on the street, if I see a Nigerian or somebody who is not Senegambian, mm-hmm. I can easily know from the look or from the behavior or so. And so that's why it's very difficult to generalize Africa as a whole, because it's a big continent with diversity.
Yeah.
And from Senegambia, you know, we've always been together as family and always take care of each other. Even if you go, you know, because even if you are far away from your family physically, you are very close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody can be very far away from you physically, but very close to you.
Yeah.
And somebody can be close to you physically, but very far away from you. So for us,
how is this in the history? At the moment, you could say Gambia is a kind of democratic.
We had a democratic dispensation. We became independent in 1965.
Yeah.
From the British.
Before you were occupied by the British.
Before it used to be one country, Gambia and Senegal.
Yeah.
But then the colonial masters, when they came, the French were interested in land and the British were interested in the water in the river.
Mm-hmm.
So they just took a small piece of land, surrounded it, and said they were colonizing this Gambia, because for them it was strategic for them to take slaves and goods inland, put them on the river,
mm-hmm.
and then to export them to the ocean, to America and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the slave trade was called the Triangle Slave Trade. Mm-hmm. But
you know about your ancestors with this family feeling, was this mm-hmm. always a more like a democratic idea?
Yes, it was more always a democratic idea. Of mm-hmm. course, the family structure is you will have a father,
yeah.
who is the family head, and the mother. So the father, the male always go and look for the resources to bring home, and the mm-hmm. mother's responsibility was to take care of those resources in terms of food, cooking, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the children will also participate
mm-hmm.
in helping the father. If, for example, if the father is a farmer, the male son will go to the farm to help the father, to support, and the female daughter will help the mother in the cooking
mm-hmm.
and preparing food, and well, also learning.
We would say here as a classical.
Learning, mm-hmm. yeah, learning how to cook and so forth, so that, you know, she can also be.
You have two boys in Berlin.
Yes, two boys.
So when they listen to what we talked about, what would they say? What is daddy here saying? Oh, no, the world is different. We are not.
Yeah, actually, I always try to, you know.
Do they really want to go back and say, no, this life in Berlin is so much better?
No, actually, I always try to give them the, you know, the insight of my childhood, because my childhood was different, but difficult, but interesting, because I would say interesting because, you know, it's two types of education. You have the academic education and the social education. For me, my academic education was not far because of financial constraint. Then I took up to teach myself socially. That is what I learned from the street, from the people,
mm-hmm.
from society. Because from the age of 5 years, I started traveling almost 50 kilometers to go to school from the village to the city in Banjul. And during that time, there were no public transport, very, very few cars.
So what are your boys saying? Do they really want to go? When can we go back to Gambia, or will they stay in Berlin or Western world? How they feel about the lifestyle and the life in Berlin or in Gambia?
Yeah, it's a generation topic. Like some things they like, some things they don't like.
Before we finish today's session here,
mm-hmm.
If possible, can you give three super tips to be so relaxed, so sleep so well, like you do, and go so happy to life?
Yeah, the first tip is, as soon as you put your head on the bed, forget about what happened in the day. and just talk to yourself in a peaceful way, and then you fall asleep very quick. And I think most people also always take work stress home. So it's very important to always leave work at work.
Yeah.
Come home as, you know, the person you are. So that's something that, you know, it's very good to relax. Because I've seen that, you know, I had a friend, when he come from work, he's always talking about how he was criticized at work,
yeah,
or how, and he always make this stress. I always tell him that when they criticize you at work, it's not you they criticize, but it's you at work they criticize. So you are you now. So feel free and relax.
Yeah.
So that's a good tip. Like if I close work, the moment I'm out of work, I don't think about work.
This is so great talking for you, and I guess you can, with all this wisdom, help a lot of people. So how can someone reach you who is interested? Oh, can you give me some, what is it, happiness injections or whatever?
Yeah, sure. I'll be happy to, you know, to always share my experience, my stories,
yeah,
my life experience, you know, and it's a lot I will be willing to share.
Mm-hmm.
And so anybody who wants to reach me can reach me with WhatsApp.
There is so much, not only wisdom, but we feel, there's a difference between knowing and knowledge and knowing, and
yeah,
then he really lives it. And
yeah,
okay, I don't want to just have a message, I want to really be able to do it. Can you teach me that? That is interesting.
Exactly.
And last year, on the 7th of May, Inspiration Day, we had an event in Berlin, and you were shortly also on stage. And I guess we shared also that you were wondering, try to figure out what the word depression means, because you couldn't, everybody's talking about depression. What is that?
Yeah.
And really, not just
and also burnout. Burnout is something that I don't know what it is.
Yeah. What is it? And it's beautiful not knowing this, and it's a problem. We have too much words about what we and you don't want to live, and we have about how we want to live in the Western world. So it's better not to wait. Start it early, and I can recommend make contact with Osh, and train yourself in life, not only in lifestyle, in a real happy life.
Thank you for being part of our journey towards a better planet we. For more information about Winspiration and ways to connect, visit us on the UK Health Radio platform under the presenter section of Wolfgang Sonnenburg, and explore Wolfgang's YouTube channel. Be Winspired.